Business owners like you should have a strategy that empowers your team, giving you time to focus on what matters most.
And we understand the challenges of leading and building a high-achieving team, which is why we created Babylon, a system that helps businesses increase revenue, build a healthy culture, and create accountability throughout the organization.
Babylon.
Episode 19.
What is that?
I'm going to guess yes anyway, but I have no idea.
No, I think you're right.
Okay.
If you're wrong, I feel like someone will tell us.
Okay. If we're wrong, it's Matt and Zach here. If we're right, it's Diego Mateo.
Yeah, Diego Mateo.
Episode 19.
Big 19.
Mm-hmm.
Glad we got here. Excited to get to 190.
Yeah. I think earlier on you said 2,000 something, but we'll get to both.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. So today we're not going to tackle a problem. Today we're going to be talking about what the top 1% of insurance agencies, the role the top 1% of insurance agencies have in their agency that you don't have.
Yes, the best, and you know, it arguably you could say in any industry,
yep.
But we're talking specifically insurance. It's this one position that the best of the best of the best invest in and have on staff. And we're going to go into that.
I love it. Can't wait. Well, favorite time of the podcast, though, when I get to learn about your favorite personal moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you shut off after this. I mean, completely.
This is the height.
I think ZB actually puts us on mute after this. I don't know. I'm not sure. But my personal best from the last week was actually a shared moment I had with Sadie. It was actually reviewing a text that I had received last week. I get a lot of text right now and Facebook messages, DMs about fatherly advice, parenting advice, which, you know, I'm all about. I love receiving it. It's funny. You know, some of it's comedic. A lot of it's effective. And this one particular piece of advice I loved. It really resonated. And the advice was, and it's from someone from the insurance community, was the things that other parents complain about, you need to go find joy in. So find joy in the stuff that other parents complain about. I love that. That's just like a great mindset piece going into fatherhood and kind of looking at like changing diapers and like quote unquote missed opportunities and loss that you have by not being able to go out and do whatever you thought you wanted to do.
Sure.
It's good advice. I shared that with Sadie and the two of us kind of like really it resonated with both of us. I think that's kind of the mentality we're going to go into starting October 6th.
It's big.
Yeah.
You go from I have to I get, right?
Yeah.
Like I have to I get to.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a hard mindset to have, but it's so important to try every day,
yeah.
Right? Because you're going to have small fails in that, but you're going to have massive wins if that's your mindset overall.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think just a quick reminder once every morning. I think like anything else, you set your day off the way it starts.
Which reminds me, we should go over some advice for you. No, I wouldn't
it
do
is.
That.
No, it is past. It's not 8. It's 11:50.
That's great, though. That's a great mindset. And I'm sure Sadie's pumped about that. I think having a dad as committed as you to that type of mindset will make her role as a mom that much easier.
Yeah, I think parenting in general, if you have both people sort of supporting the other and reminding the other person how lucky and fortunate they are, it's just always going to help. But
agreed, bigly.
So, Diego, your
best personal. So, Mason loves the Patriots. The logo, maybe not the full game, but he loves the Patriots. And we decided to go to Patriot Place, which for those who don't live in New England, it's where the Patriots play football and they have tons of restaurants and tons of stuff to do. But we decided, you know what, like we're going to go there, let him see the stadium. And then we went out to this restaurant called Davio's, which was really fun. And, you know, Chris and I were just excited to have a cocktail and let our kids run around and like just have some fun. And we go in and the bartender there, his name is Mike, and the only reason I know that is because he is a bartender in Southborough who used to make mocktails for Kristen when she couldn't drink during her pregnancies.
Wow.
He was at Tommaso,
wow.
And he still is, actually. We had no idea this is his sister where he's also at. So we went down, and we walk in, and we see Mike, the bartender, And he looks at us, he sees our two kids. He's never seen our two kids before.
Yeah.
And he looks and he's like, no more mocktails? We're like, no more mocktails. So it's just like one of those kind of funny moments. You're like, what a small world.
He looks at your kids like, I helped, you don't know me, but I helped contribute to your fetal health.
Yes, I gave your mom the appropriate sugar.
That's funny.
Really small world.
Yeah, Patriot Place is, it's such a cool spot. It's a football mecca in New England. It's really neat.
Special.
Huge though, right?
Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went into the Vineyard Vine store because Mason wanted to find whales, and they do not sell anything whales. I was willing to give them $30 if they just put a whale and a stuffed animal together. A stuffed animal whale.
I was about to say $30.
Because you know that logo.
Yeah,
I just assumed it was like a $30 or $60 whale.
Yeah,
like,
right.
No whales.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Also, no kids' clothes.
Moving away from brand or something?
They have the whale. They just don't sell a whale.
Oh, a physical like stuff.
Yeah, I just figured it would be pay for play, sell the whale.
Oh.
Nothing there, and then nothing in Mason or Emma's sizes, meaning nothing for like toddlers.
Maybe they should start doing that.
I was just shocked. Like here we are, two cocktails deep over lunch. Like I will be willing to spend $100 if my kids find a whale.
Yeah.
Mason wanted one, and they just didn't
have it. It's funny. You went from 30 to 60 to 100.
Yeah, I know. I'm going up and up. Vineyard Vines, hit me up.
Yeah, VV.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. All right, so back to what we're talking about here. We have met with so many insurance agencies across the country, but mainly, like you correctly said, businesses as well. Their top 1% have a role in common that you don't have. And that role is what?
It's a business development specialist.
Absolutely.
Is someone who specifically and only is in charge of lead generation. They are out all the time networking and driving in leads. And that's their only role. They are only focused on that. They are only, you know, looked at and evaluated by that one metric.
That's interesting. And we see that we're going to go over the four things that when you look at a business development specialist in the top 1% of insurance agencies in the country, their role is responsible for. And then we're going to look at some things that they actually don't do, right? So we don't have role confusion. And then at the end of this podcast, we're going to give you a tangible step or two for how you can maybe put this in your agency.
Yeah. And for, you know, when we say top 1%, just to be really clear, like we're not just picking this out of thin air. We've spoken to hundreds and hundreds of agencies. We know of three. And we will name them now. Now, we know of three that have this position. That's it. Out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. So it could be a lot smaller than 1%. But what we're saying is there's not many people that do this.
No.
You can. We're going to go into it.
Dun, dun, dun. So business development specialist, very first thing they got to do, you already said it, they got to generate leads. They have to get leads in the door. This isn't calling current clients, correct?
Right.
Right? Yeah. So tell me more about generating
leads. This is generating organic business referred in from centers of influence. They are out on a daily basis meeting 3, 4, 5 times a day. Tons of calls, tons of engagements, tons of meetings face-to-face and coffees, and a lot more. But that is really their role. They're out connecting face-to-face and building and enhancing relationships.
And these leads come in likely with some type of template,
yep.
Which there's a lot else to go along with this. This isn't like, oh, I met Sally at a parade and she told me to call in. Right, that's not a business development specialist. We're not talking about going to
community. Got a hot one. Yeah. Sally's a hot one.
We're not talking about going to community events, but this could be setting up a booth at a community event. Like how you do this is different. We're going to be focusing on networking. Networking in your community is different.
Yeah, and it's based off of whatever your ideal client is.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. So if your ideal client is to try to get roofers and that's the only thing, well, you're not going to be setting up a tent at like a sporting event. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
But you're probably going to focus in on the influencers who can influence.
Generate leads with a template.
You got
right?
it.
So it's not just like I met so-and-so somewhere. Met so-and-so somewhere we all should be doing in every single agency. We all have that role.
Yeah, okay. But it's impossible to track if you don't have an agreed-upon template that the referral partner is going to use to refer new business clients in.
Yes, that's huge. And just to repeat, as we said earlier, this is not calling current clients and developing business off your current book.
Right.
That's what your service team should do or your sales team in different roles. This is totally different. Next thing that they're doing, they're really brand ambassadors,
yep.
Right? And a brand ambassador to us and to the 1% of agencies out there, meaning they are living and breathing your marketing message, right? And they're translating that into your niche.
Yeah, I mean, this person better be a core value rock star. You're not going to hire them if they're not, but they especially, because they're out there building relationships on your behalf, on your brand, they better be. And the marketing message that the marketing team is trying to get out there and that the leadership team agrees upon, like that needs to be like a living, breathing piece of what they're doing on a networking side.
Yep.
And when they're meeting with new people, when they're meeting with existing referral partners, they gotta hit, pound that hard.
Mm-hmm. So if you are... A good example of a brand ambassador is if you are an auto and home insurance agency, you love auto and home, this brand ambassador would be translating your marketing message to getting more auto and home leads in. They would not be going out there saying, we really love home. Like they translate the marketing message perfectly so it comes in the exact way you want to receive it. They understand the marketing message through and through. They understand the sales process through and through.
Right.
So they understand what to expect when you insure with us.
Yeah, it allows them to educate their referral partners on what their clients are going to experience. There's got to be tons of synergy there.
Mm.
Because the better the referral partner is educated, the easier it is for their client to have a good experience, easier it is for the sales team to make sure that they run through their process. And they don't have to like, hey, it's coming in from Joe Smith versus Mary Jane, and we have to handle it differently on our end because the business development specialist didn't advise accordingly.
Yeah, and this person probably is a right-hand man with your sales team. Your sales team and this male or female are like totally
joined.
They're one.
Yeah.
They're one person.
Yeah.
We've seen this role excel when when they're an extension of almost the sales team. When it's almost like that is my team.
Yeah.
Like they're not really attached to the service side of the house much at all, right?
Right.
Like,
they have to know what we do on the service side that's special, because that's part of, you know, the education process of referral partners, but they're tied in with the sales team.
Exactly.
Because they're probably going to be compensated based off of production of the leads that they generate. So they're going to want the sales team to have a highest closing ratio and policies per client possible.
Start humming. The third thing that they do all the time, we hinted about it before, we're going to dive more into it now. Networking, such a clear role for business development specialist, but business development, or how some people call it, biz dev, it really gets confused in the marketplace. And networking is at its core, but what is networking?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we hear networking, so many people hear networking, and they just think of like engaging with potential clients and prospects out there and potential partners. And we've gone into this in depth before, but like for us, when we look at networking, it's within your niche only and hyper-focused on trying to create as many new meetings with potential referral partners, as well as continuing to engage and nurture the existing relationships. And at its core, there's a lot more you can track. There's tons more metrics you can look at, and we do. But really, at the end of the day, it's how many new appointments can I set and schedule with potential referral partners? And then how many times can I engage and nurture the existing partners I have to continue the flow, continue the inbound?
Yeah, this is where the role really gets different in how we look at the top 1%. Because you may have someone in marketing that you would call a business development specialist, but if that person is just going and sitting at a booth that you paid for, and then as people come by, they're handing out tchotchkes and they're talking about how great it is to insure with your insurance agency, that is not a business development specialist. That is someone in marketing who might be very valuable. That could be a very valuable marketing assistant, marketing manager, et cetera, et cetera. That is not a networking, right?
Right.
That's an extension of your marketing team.
Exactly.
Business development specialists excel here because of their networking and that they do the research to find the right partners that will refer your business in your niche.
Yeah, and they focus on repeatable behaviors that are proven.
Yeah.
And they just do it over and over and over again every single week. Mm-hmm. That's why this role, I mean, it not only does this person have to be a core value rock star and able to promote and reinforce your marketing message to a T, they also need to be very self-starter based person. They really need to be diligent, dedicated, consistent, and stick to, you know, the plan, because it's not a turnkey, press a button, get 200 leads. That's not the point, because why is this only valuable if you get high quality leads.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't regret this person being out in the field driving a business. This person likely has to have some type of experience in networking in order for this role to be successful.
We see this role either, and we'll dive into this in a little bit, but you know, how to actually find this role, and we'll talk about that in a little bit because I don't want to get off topic.
Last one, and again, we've talked about it right here, is to reinforce the niche. This role fails, as we just said, if you are an auto home insurance agency and this person has a ton of connections with truckers. Mm-hmm. This role will fail. We need to be brand ambassadors, as we said. We need to be networking in the niche, and that reinforces what we're trying to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We can't have this person off track. So again, the business development specialist has to generate leads. They have to be brand ambassadors. They have to be networkers, and they have to reinforce your niche.
Amen.
That is key.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about what this person should not be doing.
Amen. This role is challenging. It's difficult. It is not easy. People think it's like fun. It's exciting.
Yeah, drinking, going to sports games.
Yeah, you get to hang out with people. Yeah, your entire job and compensation is dependent on the lead generation from building trusting referral. And you aren't the one actually quoting and selling, which makes it even harder sometimes, because a lot of times you build that relationship and the person's like, oh, are you going to be handling my clients? And it's like, no, my team is. And so it's challenging. It's tough. You have to make sure that you're a good storyteller and you can promote the team the brand. So it's
yeah. And so what they're not doing right off the bat, we think about it, is, and again, we're talking about what the top 1% are doing, just to be clear. We're not talking about how to start this role.
Right.
But what the top 1% are doing, it, the design behind it, is this person is not quoting.
They're not quoting.
Right? They're not presenting.
Nope.
Right? So they're not doing those kind of sales-based functions. There's so much sales going on, but they're not talking to the individual clients.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Yeah. The most that they're likely doing is trying to get the potential referral partner to insure with your team and trust the process.
Yep.
But they're not going to be quoting that person.
No, they're not going to touch one quote. As soon as you touch a quote, you enable it, and then when do you not? And then it's not making them money, too. They need to be focused on lead generation only and networking.
Actually, a computer would be kind of wasted on this person. This person would likely not want to sit at a desk.
Maybe a tablet for calendar purposes and showcasing your PDFs and templates and stuff like that. But really you don't need a lot of technology here.
Yeah, where this role fails in the top 1% is when they get somebody who's like, I got a VIP referral, Matt. Like, I really want to handle this one. It's like, no, you haven't touched this in a long time.
Right, right.
So don't screw this up.
Not going to be as good.
No, we got a great process. Do you want to be CC'd on an email? Maybe, but why don't you just trust the team?
Right, right.
And the team can tell you it's done.
And this is assuming, I mean, this is kind of obvious, but it's assuming that you're working with a team of salespeople that are inside.
Yes.
Because a lot of listeners are going to say, well, I have an outside producer or two or whatever, and they are responsible to go generate their own leads and quote and sell their own policies, and they get paid new and renewal and blah, blah, blah. And that's traditional outside producer. We're not downplaying that or saying you shouldn't have that. We're also not saying you should only have the inside producer role. But if you have someone who is going to be your brand ambassador going out and network and generate leads, and that's only what they're going to do, and they're going to be compensated for that, you can't also be paying commission and to outside producers for those leads.
They're not going to have time. Now, your outside producer could have a business development specialist for them, and there's ways to do that. But you're absolutely right. This does not work that way. They also clearly do not do X dating. They don't do any of this kind of stuff. They are literally driving in leads, right? They're not touching those leads when they drive. And they get reports on how these leads work. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they can hold each other accountable. The sales team can look at the business development specialist and say, hey, dummies, start focusing on our niche. We're not closing these business.
Right.
You know, like it works both ways.
Yeah, their communication is headed upstream to the referral partner who's referring the client and downstream to the sales team and the sales manager. Mm-hmm. That's it. They are not going to be connecting with the client. The client and the prospect isn't part of it because it's just confusing for the team. And when we see that happen, it just gets muddied.
Yep.
And then the sales team says, I really wish you hadn't touched that because it affected our process. And then, reverse happens too.
Absolutely. So that's what the top 1%, this is the role the top 1% of agencies have. How would you recommend agencies listening today get started on this? Like, this is a daunting role.
I think a lot of people look at this and say, I'm not ready for it.
Yep.
Like, I don't feel prepared. I don't feel like I have the infrastructure and the team. Well, you can hire Babylon. We can probably help you there. But, I think a lot of people look at this as like, this is stage 6 and I'm in stage 2. And it's actually not the case. I think a lot of times if you look inward and you look at your current staff, it's one option. You look at your current staff and you say, hey, I've got this producer, either inside or outside, who absolutely loves to go out and connect with new relationships. They're great with people. They really enjoy, and they get a lot of referrals. Like, their own clients refer a lot of their own business because they just are enjoyable and they're easy to work with. But they really aren't great closing. They're really not good with quoting, and they're not great with time management, organization skills, you know, internally with quoting. That could be an awesome person to promote, because then you're really aligning their unique ability with what the role requires.
Good point.
That's one option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So an option is to promote from within after analyzing how they view their role, right? If they're getting a little bored or per se. And the other option, of course, is to take a look at people who are in outside sales professions in a different industry that maybe is parallel to your niche would be ideal.
I think that's the ideal.
Yeah, and then take a look and say, like, do you want to not be behind a computer? Right. Do you want to not actually have to sell? I don't really, you have to know insurance like the back of your hand, but you don't have to know coverages.
Right.
Like, there's a really big difference.
Yeah.
You have to know why insurance matters. You don't have to know how the sausage is made.
Yeah. Yeah, well said.
Interesting way to put it.
Looking at peripheral industries that we are well in tune with, you know, the mortgage industry, the real estate industry, the law industry, you know, attorneys, the top 1% of those three industries all have this role.
Yes.
And it's funny that this individual has sometimes moved from one industry to the next.
Yeah.
And they're the best possible candidate. Why? Because they're networking for years within the niche that you want. And so attracting that, it could be a potential gold mine for you.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to worry about spending 6 years building relationships. This person's already built the relationships within your niche.
So true.
You go after them and say, hey, this is a compelling opportunity for you.
So true. So it's one of two. The one we just went over is bringing someone in from a niche that doesn't have insurance experience, which I know is scary to insurance people to have a person who's not, doesn't love insurance work for you, but it's the way to get ahead. And that person drives in referrals. Option two involves a little bit of slower transition, which we like as well. It's just like, why don't we start making your role 50% biz dev, 50% your quoting, and let's start working out with the sales team how they can deal with some of your leads and then slowly get you out there and see if it's working.
Yeah, I think if you meet with some, it's a team member and they love the actual networking piece, they love getting out there. It actually gives them more energy when they're out every single evening or every morning for coffees. That's the person that you want to consider. Yeah. You don't want to take someone who's like just bored in their role, but really isn't good with other people and networking and doesn't want to be out, and say, hey, could this work? That's going to be a miserable fail, because it's a hard role to fill.
We find that too many insurance agencies, their entrepreneur or the business owner, agency manager, they're working way too many hours without an end in sight. And this is one of the reasons why, is because they've added business development onto their plate, as well as managing, as well as leading, as well as making the vision. We were challenged to say that most business owners long term should not be in this role, right?
Right.
This is not their role.
This is typically for a lot of entrepreneurs and in the startup phase or, you know, early years. This is the most important role. So they have that hat on proudly, and they drive in growth and create growth because of that. But most of them don't ever take it off. They just get swamped with other things. So what happens, you know, urgent things take place of the important things, and then they stop networking, but they don't backfill with these type of specialists. Mm. And this role only works, again, if it's within your niche and it's high qualified leads.
Yeah.
Because anyone can go get low qualified leads that take a long time to close and close at a low percentage with low ROI and aren't sticky year after year.
Amen.
That's not hard. People can do that for just paying for it. Mm-hmm. This person, you're going to pay potentially a salary, a draw of some sort. You're going to pay commission based off of the closed leads that they generate. So they better be generating a good number, and they better be qualified.
Amen. Amen. Well, the top 1% of the insurance industry have this role. Go get it, right? Go figure this out. Start taking steps. Don't necessarily have to rock the agency today, but you got half the year left.
Yeah.
This is a role that should be filled by 2020 by more than 1% of the industry.
Yeah. And ask yourself right now, like, how could this work? Yeah. How could it work? Not like it won't work or I feel like it'll be done. How could I make this work?
Yep.
I think that could be pretty empowering for you.
Yeah. And so we'll put a, in the podcast notes here, we'll put a way to book a call with Matt and myself and kind of go through your specific agency, and we can give you some tangible advice on how to, you should do it. But we'd love to see more insurance agencies have this role.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be private to the top 1%. Way to expose it.
Let's expose.
Bobble on.
Bobble on, baby.